This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
It's been a great start to the NFL season, and it's only getting better at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. DraftKings is kicking off another week of action by giving new customers a can't-miss offer. Just bet $1 on any football game this week and receive $150 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps to receive $150 in free bets. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps to receive $150 in free bets instantly. This week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
It's time for The Drive's Top 5 at 5.
All right, here we go. Quitting time on your Tuesday, 5 o'clock here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith and Terry Fair live today at Craven Wings. Bear live from the Bears Den. Jake Miller is in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. We send it back to him right now for the top 5 at 5. Jake?
Number one, Tennessee baseball has landed another commit, and this time it comes for the class of 2025. Chandler Jones from Decatur High School stands 6'1". Plays catcher, third base, and pitches a little. He joins high school teammate Levi Clark, who committed a month ago from Decatur as well, and will arrive on campus in 2024.
Chandler Jones, I'm still having nightmares about him wrecking the Titans season opener. He had 5 sacks. I mean, Taylor Lewan still hasn't blocked him.
He was a beast last week, too.
I hope this one's brings Tennessee fans more joy than the one in Arizona, but Tony Vitello going to be on the show with us Thursday, I believe, Thursday about 5:15. So be sure to tune into that. Yeah. We'll play a little jam or not a jam.
I gotta check that out, man. I mean, look, we're going to be good for a long time. He's going to have a chance to go down as, you know, one of the UT greats in terms of baseball.
Did you get to
coaches.
Go to a baseball game this year?
No.
Oh, man, we're going this year.
Yeah,
it's a party atmosphere over there, dude. A lot of fun.
Trust me, I saw it. I was a little jealous.
Yeah, and we're going to get that stadium renovated. It's going to be, man. I mean, if we can keep that dude, it's going to be a lot of fun.
And number two, Bryson DeChambeau is getting ready for the Ryder Cup this weekend and says there will be no tension between himself and Brooks Koepka. Not only does Bryson DeChambeau believe everything will be fine between him and Koepka, he hinted that there is some sort of collaboration in the works.
Oh, a detente, if you will, a thawing
those two?
Of the ice. I like it. Hey, the Ryder Cup is this week. Terry, I don't know if you're a big Ryder Cup guy. What do you think of the Bryson DeChambeau Brooks Koepka feud in golf?
What do I think of it?
Yeah.
And we got Florida on Saturday. Y'all want me to sit here and talk about golf? Okay. Y'all
My
go
man
ahead.
Is dialed in. He's dialed in, ladies and gentlemen. He's not here for any of your golf talk.
And number three, Philadelphia 76ers All-Star Ben Simmons will not report to the opening of training camp next week and intends to never play another game for the franchise. Simmons hasn't spoken to the team since a late August meeting when he communicated this message to the Sixers officials. And if he doesn't show up, he is very well aware of the fines and other implications that could happen.
Well, it's not like they're going to miss out on his offensive output.
Oh, come on. He's still a heck of a player. 6'10" and can do what he does. He'll help somebody out. I mean, the love was lost at the end of the season last year anyway. This is not even a surprise, right?
You know what they call him in Philly.
What's that?
Benjamin Simmons, because he's got no J.
Well, hopefully someone's working on it right now. But, yeah, he still can do other things. But that's no surprise. He may just take the fines until he gets picked up.
And number four, the Pittsburgh Steelers added a significant name to their list of injured players today. That player is Ben Roethlisberger. Coach Mike Tomlin said the quarterback was dealing with a left pectoral injury, but said he didn't know how it happened, but it wasn't publicly disclosed during post-game interviews with Tomlin or Roethlisberger.
Wow, so that's Mason Rudolph?
I believe so.
Is there backup?
Yeah. Then, who's their third? Is it Dobbs?
Dobbs for who? I can't remember the rookie beat him out, I believe. So maybe Dobbs gets back, and
you know,
Big Ben's going to miss significant time.
Problem is you know, you get Alabama's best running back last year. You take him in the first round, but you don't have anybody to block for him or protect Big Ben. You got some guys that can make plays on the outside, but it's been a nightmare protecting the quarterback.
And number
Najee did look good the other day.
And number five, Rutgers cornerbacks Max Melton and Chris Long have been suspended after being taken into police custody over a paintball gun incident. New Jersey Advanced Media reported that the two players have been charged with aggravated assault, possession of a weapon for unlawful purpose stemming from an incident that happened last night.
What happened? I mean,
that is all the information we got.
Shoot somebody with it? Or, I mean, it's they just have it
around, just popping off on people.
Yeah, you got to be careful. They can't do it. It's during the season. You got to be accountable. That's what we talked to Jacob Warren about today was leadership and, you know, doing the right things when you have the opportunity. It's really not unfortunate. It's something that I'm sure that they know the rules that you just can't do. Just take a piece of the book from everybody else that got in trouble before you with it.
Yep. Greg Schiano doesn't need those problems. All right. Thank you, Jake Miller. The Top 5 at 5 brought to you this afternoon by Craven Wings. Where we are this afternoon, would love for you to come out and see us. If you're in West Knoxville, if you're in the Farragut area, you're in Chodo, come on out and see us. We're on South North Shore Drive, right over here next to the Weigels. You go through the roundabout. You like that Yes song, Bear?
I'm not a big fan of Yes, although since you mentioned music, I have to give my guy Liam Gallagher a shout. Happy birthday, Liam.
Happy birthday to Liam Gallagher from Oasis. You big Oasis fan, T?
what
you laughing?
You never heard
huh?
Champagne Supernova?
Man, you know what? I saw that somewhere the other day. I was on this show and somebody mentioned it last week.
Oh, yeah, yeah, this show.
And I saw, man, they were talking about that Oasis, but.
That's
my Terrence. It should be right in your wheelhouse, buddy. You were in college when they were huge.
I'll be your roundabout. I'll leave you out and down and out. I've seen all good people.
Oh, I've
seen all good people turn their heads each day. Oh, it's great stuff.
Russell, this is some goofy music
from
Terry.
The 70s.
Huh. You remember you gave me that CD from back in the day? CD back in the day. It was all right.
Of what?
It had some Hendrix on there. It had some
like
other
classic
stuff.
Rock.
Yeah, it was classic rock.
Very good.
So that's why you didn't ask me if I knew. Did I like Yes?
Do you like Yes?
No.
Well played, sir. Let's go to the phones. Westchester, you're on the G3 Help Me Hotline. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are we doing today?
Doing well, thanks.
Terry, I don't mean this as necessarily a slight on Heupel for once, but it's an honest question. Does, as a former player, do you think the high pace of the defense makes it harder to recruit?
No, I don't. I really don't. Not at all. I think it's how your defense is played, what type of system you're running, how well that your skills fit into that system, and how well you like the campus, the university, you know, the atmosphere in the stadium, and, you know, just can you grow in 4 years? But I don't think it's the pace of anything. I think it's the scheme of it that matters.
Fair point. Guys,
I mean, everybody's doing that now. I mean, you know, everybody's complaining about you know, quarterbacks not going under center for sneaks and stuff, but I mean, it's just the way the game is evolving. Pretty much, if you're going to be playing defense, offense, I mean, it's just where the game's at. Everybody plays fast now.
Yeah, I guess personally, I just was hoping that trend would have died off by now, but I guess it just keeps gaining steam every year. So, guys, when we going to beat Florida? No, seriously, Can we keep it within 25?
Yeah, I think we beat him.
Yes. Definitely.
You can keep it within 25, I'm sure. I mean, like if you get beat by more than 25 points, I mean, it's going to be a very gloomy edition of the voluntary reaction at about 11:30 Saturday night. That's going to be – oh, I'm looking forward to doing that show. If we get blowed out, as Phil likes to say, I'm looking forward to doing voluntary reaction with Bear and Drunk Dave like I'm looking forward to rectal exam.
It was gloomy and we won last week.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Can you imagine if we get blown out?
I mean, no, I don't. Listen, I think them guys are going to go down there and fight. They're going to compete. And I don't know. I just think game four, you know, and there are no moral victories in anything, but this is a good, I'm not going to say measuring stick. I'm going to leave out the coach talk, but this is a good test for this team that, you know, is learning something new to go out and put it up, you know, against one of the best defenses in the country, you know, one of the best running offenses in the country, and see what sticks and sees what happened and see how their schemes stack up. So one thing I know we are going to do, we're going to go compete because we've shown that we're going to go do that and we're going to have some fight in us when we do it.
And one more thing, Russ, be sure that you bring some barbecue sauce for the show on Monday because it's looking like I'm a little smarter than y'all thought I was because there's no way in heck that that Hooker doesn't start this game on Saturday at this point, right?
No, that's not.
Yeah. That's Heupel doesn't talk about his quarterback. He's not going to talk about it,
which is good. Yeah. So, go ahead. What do you think though? Like, who do you think is going to be, and who is harder to prepare for? Because really, you're preparing against a scheme, not really the quarterback.
Yeah,
both quarterbacks are going to take shots, right?
Well, if that's it, I mean, it's Milton, right? Because he's going to throw it longer, but. I don't know, Westchester. My gut tells me if Hooker is taking all the practice reps, if Milton's still a little gimpy, I think Hooker probably starts. But if Milton is 100% or close to it, and he's getting most of, they're going to play whoever's they're practicing with. And
somebody's got to get thrown under the bus after this game, and it won't be your starter for the rest of the season, which is Milton. So
I'll say this. I'll say this, but when you look at it, I think if push come to shove, Milton probably could have played last week, but why play him, sit him? You know he's probably taking some practice reps last week. He got in there. He's probably practicing this week. But you want to see what Hooker can do in a starting situation without the pressure of having Milton breathing down his back, all right? You know you were going to play Harrison Bailey at some point, but you really want to see what type of rhythm, what type of feel, and what type of player Hooker could become getting the start and moving forward, you know, because that's what you want to see. And who has the command of this offense, respect of the offense more? I think that's the guy you're playing, and that's who you're going to start against Florida.
We'll see what happens, guys. Have a good show. Have a good week. Thanks.
Thanks, Westchester. Good to hear from you. Cole Kubelik on Twitter, Arkansas, 3-0. With all three wins coming by 15 or more points for the first time since 1998,
wow!
Sam Pittman has the Hogs in the top 20.
Rolling. He's good. Fun to watch. Fun to watch right now.
He's going with the Dabo Swinney model.
But, you know, he's another guy that when they made that hire, people were like saying, Pittman, you know what? Heck, what is he going to bring here? And now look at it.
Well,
man, those players are sold on him. And you start to see those guys play differently. We talk about that all the time. It makes a huge difference.
And you could look at them last year. They were 3-7, just like Tennessee. You look at Ole Miss, who are now media darlings as well. They were 4-5, and then they won a bowl game. They had one game canceled, so they finished 4-5, and they beat Indiana to go 5-5. So they weren't great teams last year, but they've become very good teams this year. To me, and I've been talking about this a lot this week, Terry, is year one of a new coaching staff. It's about laying the foundation for future success. And I think if that's what your goal's got to be, right? Look, we'd all love to beat Florida, and I'm sure that's what they're working on this week. But the big picture goal for me is, can you get your program from year one to year two the same way Pittman and Kiffin have done? Is a big game for Arkansas at A&M.
Yeah, it's huge, right? It's huge, but
it'll be a fun one.
Like I said, Russ, you hit it on the head. All right. Expectations, people are ready to jump off the bridge. you know, into the Tennessee River. And for what? It's not like we were coming into the season and we said we were supposed to win 10 games. Not the case, man. We're rebuilding. We're trying to insert players. Some got here after spring. Some got here during the spring. But we're laying that foundation. We're trying to build the right thing. We're trying to build and put us back to respectability on the map. And I think we're off to a really good start. I think we're headed in the right direction. And that's just from what I see in terms of the attitude and how these guys are taking to the staff, just what they're showing each other, the excitement that they're playing with. I can't say that we've seen that the last couple of years. Not a shot at anybody. I'm just going at what I see from these players and what I hear coming out of that camp.
We'll get a quick break. 865-546-8200, your number to get on the show today, 546-8200 if you want to hop on the G3 Help Me Hotline. Back with more live this afternoon at Craven Wings after this.
The Drive.
All right, back to the Drive. It's Fan Run Radio. Russell Bear and Terry cruise along with you on a T-Fair Tuesday. It's 865-546-8200. Your number if you want to get on the show here this afternoon, 546-8200. Terry, just so many once proud programs that have lost their way to one degree or another, and Tennessee is not alone in this, right? Nebraska, Miami, Florida State, UCLA. You thought they were back. They lose to Fresno the other night. I still think they're probably pretty good. Texas, Michigan, where that USC. All these great programs, man. Well, they can't find their way out.
But I'll say this too, though. Back when a lot of these programs were great, all right, the recruiting and television coverage and all of that stuff was not the same, right? One of the reasons that sold me on Tennessee back then was the amount of coverage that we had, the amount of games that we were going to play on national television. Now everybody plays on TV. You know, everybody has great looking uniforms. You know, there's a lot of great environments around the country. So those things that may have stood out for some doesn't stand out like that for everybody anymore. So it has changed an awful lot in terms of that. So now it just really boils down to recruiting. That's why you see everybody each and every year, you know, upgrading facilities, upgrading stadium, changing uniforms 10 times a year and all of those different things to attract those young kids, because it's just not about that anymore.
Well, so you were really familiar with Tennessee just as a high school player back in, before you came?
I was, you know, I mean, I did my research, you know, before I knew Tennessee football, I knew Lady Vol basketball, as crazy as that may seem. But when I started watching the SEC, you know, learning about the historicalness of the conference and just going to all of these great venues, I had a chance to watch Tennessee play Georgia between the hedges, and that was a Ron Franklin, you know, 7 o'clock ESPN game on a Saturday. And man, it was an awesome environment, and just one of the environments I said, man, I would love to play in something like that. I mean, let me get away from the Pac-12. You don't see that type of environment in the Pac-10 at the time.
Yeah, it's just a different environment now that these coaches have to navigate in terms of getting recruits. And, you know, Tennessee's just so far from being that national brand. How do you get back there? I don't know. I mean, we've had three or four coaches now. This is Heupel's turn to take a crack at it, and nobody's been able to crack that code yet. Some have come closer than others, but it's so early, and there's so many things going with Heupel where he's got to navigate. The NCAA stuff cannot be helping.
Not at
in
all.
Recruiting.
Not at all, because everybody's using it against you.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, man, it's already negative, even without the NCAA investigation, right, when people talk about your program. then you have that. I mean, listen, recruiting is, man, I'm telling you, it's doggish out there. Everybody's going to talk bad about you. But Tennessee, that power T and what it represents can always be a national brand. It's how you bring it back. And it's about bringing it back the right way. And I think we can do that. I mean, it's because we have the resources to do that. But it's just a matter of winning that game that you're not supposed to, you know, doing something unexpected, generating conversation that involves Tennessee around it. And I don't mean the McDonald's kind, you know, I mean the positive kind that's going to get these kids interested and pique their curiosity.
You know, it's interesting. The last two coaches had big wins in their first season. Butch Jones in 2013, knocking out that South Carolina team. You were part of that. Great South Carolina, loaded team, right? They were top 10 at the time when they came in. Tennessee knocks them off. It's a big upset. And Pruitt is able to go down to Auburn and beat a pretty good Auburn team in their building in an early season, early kickoff ball game. And those coaches were able to use that and kind of capitalize that. It helped them generate some momentum. Can Josh Heupel pick somebody off? And, okay, maybe it's not a Florida, Georgia, Alabama. Ole Miss is pretty good this year. Kentucky's pretty good this year. You know, would a win over one of those teams generate some excitement for your program?
Definitely. I think that's what these fans are looking for. I think you have to look at the Kentuckys of the world, the South Carolinas, the Missouris, you know, those type of teams. Like you said, Ole Miss. Man, we've got to win, to me, not one but some of those games, because I think we're capable of doing that. Any positive thing in terms of wins is a step in the right direction for Tennessee.
Hey, along those lines, I didn't say this when we were talking about it with Jacob Warren joined us in hour number one. Go back and check the podcast if you missed that. I've heard, I've not seen with my eyes, but I've heard that the black uniforms are in and that there's a helmet to go with them. I've heard they got
that. I hope so. Man, don't get me excited like that. I mean, that gets me excited, man.
They got the black helmets.
Listen, you got to do stuff like that. You know, everybody thought Butch was crazy when he came out with the smoky grays and all of those things. But, man, those smoky grays, I guarantee you, got some recruits to come to the University of Tennessee. Well, just the ability to do something different, man, because this orange looks great in so many different combinations and you can do so much with it that you – where we are right now, we can't just rely on Tennessee to go out and get these young players. We've got to do some things differently. You know, Butch capitalized on that. You know, I think Heupel's seen it being some places that he's been. The landscape to college football isn't the same anymore. Alabama doesn't have to do it. We're not Alabama. We would like to be Alabama. If we were, we wouldn't have to change either. Mm-hmm. But right now, we've got to do what we've got to do to be as competitive as we can be in college football.
Just cracking a little smile over here as 247 Sports has noted that Lane Kiffin has an Instagram account now. He follows one person. Anybody want to take a guess who the one person Lane Kiffin follows on Instagram is?
Nick Saban.
Close. Arch Manning.
Okay.
ABC, yeah, always be crudin'.
I heard him, you know, he wants them to announce, you know, the Tennessee Ole Miss game. Peyton,
yeah.
Yeah. Peyton
did you hear? Did you hear what last night on the Manning cast, they had Pat McAfee on, the punter from the Colts? You know, he's a media guy now. And he asked Peyton, he goes, "Hey, Peyton, where's Arch going?" And he goes, "West Virginia." Because that's where McAfee went.
Hey, that's awesome, by the way, what they're doing, man. That's just,
it's so good, man. I sit there watching.
You guys see they doubled. They pulled a 1.1. They doubled their audience last night.
And if you're just watching the game and, you know, you're one of those people that think you know everything about the game but really don't know a lot, you just like to talk about it, go get some real knowledge about what these guys see offensively, what defenses are thinking and all of those different things. So you can see what's in the head of some of these coaches, what these quarterbacks are thinking, what are these players are thinking, rather than just screaming at the TV at them and thinking that they just – they suck.
The Gronk part of it was, you know, hysterical.
What's in the head of Gronk Is that like, is that early CTE? Was he drunk last night? Is he just dumb? Like, what's going on with that dude? Hey,
Gronk is Gronk, man. Gronk is always Kronk. So,
have you guys ever seen the, I don't know if it's with his, I think it's with his dad, the interview with him, and like how he grew up. I think he's got like four brothers.
Yeah. They're his all dad just super competitive.
Yeah. And they just, I couldn't imagine. And he basically just threw a bunch of mattresses in a room and let him have at it. But now he said he didn't watch game film. He said, let's Tom do that.
But he's been playing with Brady so much that he can read. He's been in the league long enough to where he knows how to read defenses and different things. He knows how to get open and he knows his quarterback.
Mm. Stay with us. It is The Drive on Fan Run Radio, coming to you live this afternoon from Craven Wings in West Knoxville. We have Davey Hutchin, the Lenoir City Bulldog, has made his appearance. He's wearing his Duke shirt in honor of J.J. Reddick's retirement today, mourning the sharpshooter who is stepping away from the game at, 36?
37.
Are you going to tell him what you said about him?
He knows.
Yeah.
Won't miss him. Punchable face. I hope he's broke in 2 years.
Davey catches hell around the station.
You think I'll be nice to him?
Hey,
because he's a Duke fan? No, we go more steam.
Don't let up. Put on more steam.
That's one of the maxims.
When the game of breaks go against you, don't let up. Put on more steam.
Stay with us. The Drive continues. Back with more after this. This is Oasis, Terry. Beautiful.
Beautiful.
Does it move you? Make you a little emotional?
Makes me a little hungry when I see these wings coming out. They're glistening and they're shiny. Yeah, it looks good.
I'll make you a mixed CD, Terry.
I didn't ask for that, Bear. I'm good.
I want you to be able to talk with authority. It's a popular subject on here.
I have a VCR player.
Yeah,
I got a CD player, VCR, DVD player.
Really?
You still got a VCR?
Yeah, I got a lot of VCR tapes. You know,
so do I. I've got a lot of tapes. I got a lot of old Tennessee games on videotape.
I mean, I go back and just watch them sometimes, and tracking doesn't work that good. But
you can get them. You can get them switched over to. I was going to say DVD, but probably now just get them on a hard drive.
Yeah, you know what? I have some that I've done previously and got on DVD, but. I mean, shoot, kids don't even know what a DVD is anymore.
Well, you could go watch all these games on YouTube, too. I mean, like, if there's a half-decent game.
Missing some.
Speaking of which,
yeah.
Terry, what was your best game as a Tennessee Vol? Where you just went off?
I don't know.
You have a multiple interception game?
I have. I think probably for me, which maybe – was not my best game, but my best game was probably Auburn in an SEC championship. And I only say that because, you know, when things weren't going so well, put the ball on the ground twice, but, you know, able to come back and respond and rebound and help my team win an SEC championship, you know, just, you know, some of the resiliency, you know, that I thought it took to come back. I mean, I love that game for that reason. Now, I hate putting us in that situation, but
you fumbled.
It was a fun night.
But,
and then did you house one at the end, or
I had a long return. You know, I came back and broke up three balls, had a forced fumble at the end of that game, and set a record for return yards that game. But yeah, it's one of those things that kind of makes you grow, you know, as a player and makes you stronger. And when you have to deal with situations like that that arise later that may come up in the NFL, you know, you've been there before, you know, so it's no shock. You know how to respond in adverse situations.
Folks, speaking of the NFL, pro football is back. FanDuel Sportsbook wants you to get the most out of every play. That's why they're giving everyone a $10 risk-free bet every week. And Thursday night is a great opportunity to give it a try. All you have to do is bet a same-game parlay with three legs or more, and if your bet doesn't win, FanDuel will pay you back up to $10. So you've got Thursday night football, you've got Panthers, Texans. this week, and you can go build your same game parlay if you like. Carolina and the money line seems like a safe bet on that one. You want to do Sam Darnold passing yards. You want to do the over under on total points in the fourth quarter. Go ahead. There's your three legs. Put it together and you will be ready to roll with your same game parlay. And you have that $10 insurance to play with there as well. There's no feeling like nailing a same game parlay. So lock in your bet today at FanDuel. Get up to $10 back if your bet doesn't win. And if you're new to FanDuel, you can claim 30-1 odds on either team to win in the Monday night game next week between the Cowboys and Eagles. Just sign up with our promo code DRIVE1. And if your first bet loses, you get up to $1,000 back in site credit. Again, that's promo code DRIVE1. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on mobile and web. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789. Gary, give us a call back. We'll get you on. That's my bad. I missed you on the text. Would love to hear from you. A couple lines available right now if you want to jump in. 865-546-8200. Your number to get on the G3 Help Me Hotline. Boy, Sam Darnold looking like a new player. It's funny, you get away from the Jets, and all of a sudden you have a little success. So he's the player we thought he was going to be.
Hey, that's kind of how it happens, man. Sometimes you go into a crappy situation, right? And then if you have the opportunity to get somewhere else and you go to a better franchise, that's, I always say, the higher you get drafted, the crappier situation that you go into. Because you get drafted number one, you know what that means?
Yeah.
That team didn't win many games.
Man,
and
I always go back to, and this is obviously almost 30 years later, it still nags at me as a young Tennessee fan growing up here. Heath Shuler was my favorite player, and he goes to the Redskins, and they sucked. And he had a holdout. But he's the, you know, I think he was the second overall pick, and he's the savior of the franchise. And so they start him right away. They have no offensive line. He gets his brains beat out, and they're booing him. They're on him. They're, you know, and he ended up being, once he got out of there and he went to the Saints, he had a couple of good games before he had the Lisfranc injury and just could never, like, he was on the verge of becoming the player that we all know he could be, but just, Washington, man, they ruined them.
Well, is you look at it, and that's why football players are so envious of basketball players, right? Because it's a little better now for a football player. But as you said, you sign a 4-year, 5-year deal in the NFL, and you go to that team you're drafted by, them, you're probably going to stay there that whole time. You can't choose what situation you're going to go into. You can go to basketball and be drafted, you know, in the top 10, and 2 years later, you were a different team, a team that suits what you do, the perfect combination, a perfect fit, and you're going to become an all-star because of that reason. Football, you don't have that luxury. You hope that where you go, where, you know, that fit sticks, but, you know, a lot of times that's not the case. It takes that second team and that situation that you wanted to be in, first of all, you know, for you to get it right.
Kind of along those same lines, we were talking about Toto, and I was arguing on Twitter, which is never a good idea, with some Tennessee fans who, you know, there's this narrative, oh, he can't cover the slant, oh, he's not that good, we don't really miss him. You know, it's like Tennessee fans trying to make themselves feel better about the fact that one of their best players just went to Alabama. And I'm just saying, like, look, okay, maybe he's not the second coming of Dick Butkus. He's the starting middle linebacker for the greatest sports dynasty the sport's ever seen. Like, let's not pretend like we're better off without him.
Yeah, that's just some feelings that's hurt that he left you. You know what I mean?
Oh, my feelings are hurt too. Like, well, seeing him play for Alabama makes me sick.
But my thing is this, though. You know, you can't control that. You know, you look at the situations, you know, a lot of these, he was getting out of here just doing what he thought he had to do to avoid certain situations that was here. You know what I mean? You can dislike him, but you still have to respect this game. Not many people are able to just leave in 1 year and go to the Crimson Tide and able to start. Guy has an immense amount of talent. He's going to be a really good football player. He's not the best linebacker on that team, but he's a damn good player, and he will be for years to come.
Mm. I'm watching.
I'm still not ready to forgive him, boys. I'm hurt.
Bro, you don't have to forgive him, but you just got to respect what he's doing.
Yeah. All right.
He's undefeated right now.
All right. I didn't take any enjoyment. He didn't have a great game the other day, but I wasn't, you know.
Yeah, it's nothing wrong with that. It's nothing wrong with that. But I think when it comes to, you know, saying that he's not any good or anything, that's a different story.
We spent a long time talking in hour number two about our defense and the linebackers and the challenge of going up against this Dan Mullen offense and everything that Florida's doing. And, I mean, like, this is where you miss him. Because he would be the unquestioned leader of that defense, middle linebacker, probably be Banks playing beside him, and he could get him lined up. I mean, that's a big loss for Tennessee not having him out there. And, I mean, that might be worth a win at some point having him. But, you know, you miss Wanya Morris. You miss Eric Gray. You miss Jameer Johnson. You miss Keyshawn Lawrence. All these dudes who left, and it's – nothing on Josh Heupel. Nothing he can do about it.
Not at all. Nothing that he can do. I mean, they're going to, you know, they're thinking that, hey, we may be in a situation where maybe we have to leave this program, you know, to not face these consequences. But, you know, like, as I said, you know, what do we do? How do we do it? You know, against this Florida team, you can't have guys out there that's making mistakes. Toa Toa is a guy that can make a mistake and maybe recover from it. You don't have many guys, you know, at that linebacker group on that D line that can, well, us as a team, period, that can make mistakes and recover. I think we've seen that against Pitt, to where we can't be that bad and expect to win ball games, especially against a more dominant running Florida football team, against a more physical Florida football team. Listen, if you're not disciplined, if you're not sound at the point of attack, doing all of those things, discipline and coverage, this will be a long night. But if you can play it clean, I believe as Bear said, and you can clean up those mistakes and penalties, you give yourselves a chance.
Mm. Let's get Gary in here. Gary, you're on the drive. It's Fan Run Radio. What's up, man?
How you guys doing?
Doing well. Thank you.
Good, good. Hey, you were talking earlier about the Monday night thing with Peyton and Eli. Man, that has turned into must-see TV if you're a football fan. That is fantastic. Last week was great. This week was even better, I thought. And I think Bear said it a while ago, that story when they had Gronk on there, and Gronk's like, Peyton's asking him, how much film do you watch? And he's like, I've never watched film in my entire career. I just do what Tom tells me to do. I let him watch the film. That was hilarious.
Gotta love it.
Yeah, it's
he did follow up with he asked Brady, you know, who's gonna be covering me.
Terry, when you watched that game last night, do you still cheer for the Lions in those situations like that? I'm sure you do.
I do all the time, and you know, I don't have a particular favorite football team in the NFL, but I do want to see those guys win as any time that I can, and you know, usually I'm disappointed, but I do cheer for them.
Well, I grew up. I'm a Bears fan. I grew up a huge Walter Payton fan. Always going to be my favorite player of all time, and of course I cheer for you guys and all the Tennessee players. I want to see them do well and succeed. And you know, how would you compare? I know you played with a great running back in Barry Sanders. Was that probably the best guy that you ever played with as a football player during that time, or that you played against?
No doubt about it. No doubt about it, man. Like, it was so playing with Barry, right? Like, off season, I didn't see Barry do anything. You know, he would be there. I've never in training camp. Barry never made a move in training camp. I've never seen it. He never made a move. He'd get the handoff and he'd run a touchdown every time. But when
I bet
preseason,
you never got
to do much.
Tackle him. They didn't let you tackle him in practice, I'm sure, did you?
No, not at all. Not at all. And you
so know, he wasn't like juking and stuff, doing all the crazy stuff in practice. He just kind of very bland or whatever. And then the game would come on and he just turn it on.
It was like you would go get your instructions defensively and we'll be standing up. We'll get what we need to do coming back out, what we're going to do. And you get your butt up and you go watch Barry Sanders run the football, man. And it was like I had seen before, watching it as a kid through college. And now I'm playing with this guy. I mean, I'm playing with him. And he rushed for 1,564 yards that year. and I experienced every one of them with him. Even he had the one where he loses to Shoe and scores a touchdown. Man, I was on one of those teams. It was unbelievable watching that guy play.
He was special, wasn't he, Terry?
Not one better to me.
Well, good. Well, Terry, I'd love to hear what you think is our call me crazy, but I think we've got a chance, a slim chance, Saturday night to maybe pull an upset. And I'd love to hear what you think is our path to doing that.
Certainly. I appreciate the call.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Gary.
Definitely. You know what I'm going to say. It's winning in the trenches, right? Can we be physical and disciplined offensively and defensively to compete and win in the trenches?
You mean it doesn't all just come down to quarterback?
No. Got to protect the man first, and we got to stop the run, right? Because as I told you before, we're going to throw the ball, okay? Our running game is our passing game as well. I mean, the way we dictate with our offense and our scheme, we put a lot of pressure on that nickelback and that outside linebacker to commit to the run or pass. What is he going to do? So when he commits to the run and we RPO him and we pick up 5 yards, that's just like handing the ball off and that running back picking up 5 yards. So that's used in it. We've shown that we're going to throw the deep ball downfield. And I told you, Russ, as a defensive back, if you don't think that I'm thinking about this ball being in the air, yeah, I'm thinking about making plays, but I'm thinking I got to stay on my P's and Q's because just because of who I am, they're not going to throw it. We're going to throw it. So it puts an awful lot of pressure on the defense. Trenches is where we win it.
Stay with us. One more segment with Terry. We're live this afternoon at Craven Wings, South North Shore Drive, Chodo. Back to wrap things up right after this. Back here on the drive, it's Fan Run Radio. You like that?
I do. I like that better than Party Like It's 1999, you know.
Y'all like the Prince?
Corner, huh?
Y'all like the Prince?
Whoa.
I like the Ghetto Boys a little better.
Okay.
You know. I was going to ask, was it a reason we're playing Party Like It's 1999? Or
I mean,
was that why?
Because, well, it's the last time we were, you know, dominating the college football world. I mean, not to bring us down here at the end, T, but I mean,
well played.
You're going in your second year with the Lions. I was watching guys I cheered for, you know, 8 years when I was in college, and then the 4 years after playing all over the pros. You're styling and profiling. I'm listening to Chris Berman, you know, do his whoop whoop thing, and it's you.
Okay. Hey, well, listen, then my apologies. Prince was okay for that. I see where I was wondering, was there significance there? If not, I was wondering.
Although we do celebrate the Ghetto Boys' entire catalog as well. Sorry, Rush, you can go on with the segment.
No, it's good. We celebrate it too. It does feel good to be a gangster.
We're definitely
Shout out to Lamonte Turner. Signing with I'm not even going to try and pronounce the name of the team, but they just tweeted it out. And thanks to you want to try and pronounce this?
I'm used to messing stuff up.
This is the team. Look, the official Twitter for
Kazi Karskigo Aseko Arca Gadinha.
Yeah,
that's excellent.
Yeah,
that's
Spanish.
Excellent.
No,
that's not
no.
Spanish, dude.
Turkish, maybe. I also saw where the Admiral signed with the Orlando Magic today.
Who?
All right.
Admiral Schofield.
Okay. Yeah, we got a signed picture of him up there in Craven.
Sorry, she do well there.
Basketball season just around the corner. Right Rick around Barnes the corner. And the boys. Going to get things tipped off. A lot of high expectations in Big Orange Country for Tennessee basketball. Kennedy Chandler, the latest 5-star to arrive on here. Sounds like he's going to be an excellent point guard.
What we need, right?
Yep.
I think, man, it's going to be an exciting season. I mean, those expectations should be where they are.
No doubt about it. All right, Terry, we got about 3 minutes here wrapping up T-Fair Tuesday. First of all, want to thank we got some phone calls. Want to thank Craven Wings for having us out here. It has been a blast, and I'm sure we will be back soon. Why don't you ask Will and them, Jake, if we can borrow a little bit of their time so we can squeeze our guys Rex and DR Vol in here. Can we do that?
Yes, we can.
Our DR Vol was supposed to be here.
He should have been here. He was tweeting about it last night. We'll see what his excuse is. Rex, you're on the drive, Fan Run Radio.
Hey, guys. Terry, good to talk to you. Appreciate everything you do for the Vols. And I just wanted to ask you why you thought no one could talk.
Oh, you cut out there, Rex. Why no one could stop what?
The clock stops working. I mean, that's crazy.
The end of that. Thank you for bringing that up.
What was that?
How crazy was that? The end of Florida, Alabama. The clock is not working. Nobody knows how much time is left in the game. Have you ever seen
anything? Nobody's talking about that.
That's something that has to go back and be viewed, and that game is not over until you find out.
It's 2021. We've got the International Space Station up there. We've got submarines in the deepest, darkest part of the ocean. We can't get a clock to work right? A college football game? What's going on here?
Hey, sometimes it's meant that way.
I figured they got a call from Birmingham.
That call will come.
Believe that.
No, it will, T.
Terry, I would just say, why do you think it goes on at Knoxville while we're not willing to cheat? Because clearly Florida is willing to do whatever it takes, including blatant cheating, yet we can't get, Danny boy up there to you button his shirt up. Like, why don't we have people who are willing to cheat and do whatever it takes?
Well, I'll jump in here. I would say because right now we're facing possibly, allegedly, as Russ likes me to say, 51 level one violations.
Yeah, that certainly plays a part.
Allegedly, yeah.
I mean, if you get, let's just say me and Russ are running around and we got popped with allegedly 8 kilos of Colombian marching powder, we're probably going to keep our noses clean until it gets adjudicated.
Yeah, you're not going to be running around with that kind of stuff when you're on parole.
Unless you're that lineman from the Cowboys back in the day.
Leon Led.
Nate Newton.
That was him. Nate Newton.
That's right. Well,
thanks.
Got popped with 100 pounds and then got popped with 150.
That was just for his own personal use. Thank you, Rex. Appreciate the phone call. DR Ball. What's up, DR Ball?
Well, guys, if I didn't live a time zone away, I would be there with you today. I'm there in spirit, but I will be there the weekend of the Ole Miss game.
Okay.
Now, Russ, earlier, and I had to turn the app off. I'll go back and listen to the podcast. But earlier you said that the black uniforms were in. Do you mean that we may wear them Saturday, or they're just in for future use?
Oh, in for future use. Ole Miss is what I'm hearing.
Now, you also said something, Russ, about a black hair. Are we talking about a black helmet with an orange power tee, which is what I've been.
I've heard the black helmets are in.
You got to do it right if you're going to do it.
You got to do it.
Exactly.
Go all the way.
You got to coordinate.
Amen to that.
Coordinate.
One of my best experiences in Neyland was that night in 09, guys. And to be great, they did the Ole Miss because I'll be there for that one as well. I know you are up against it. You have a good day.
Thanks, DR Ball. Good to hear from you. Terry, give me a closing thought or two on Florida Week, the Gators.
Man, this is a big time week facing our nemesis, but I see great things on the horizon. You know, I'm looking forward to coming in here Tuesday. Play me some better music than 1999. Give me
we'll get
pumped up on. Because if you ask me, hey, we going to Florida and we do what people don't think we can do.
Shock the world, baby.
We win this game.
You're right, Russ.
Yes.
You're calling it.
Yes. This game will be close. This game will be decided by 5 points or less. I'm not going either way.
What's in that cup you're sipping out of?
Nothing yet. But
Josh Heupel's undefeated in the state of Florida, Terry.
Like I said, 5 points either way.
You hear what he said?
What'd he say?
Say it again, Bear.
Josh Heupel's undefeated in the state of Florida, my man.
Well, this is the SEC here, and I'm going to go. But I like that. It just gives me more confidence heading into it.
Those are true facts. Undefeated in the state of Florida.
Hey,
Russ, you were dead off right about Terry this morning when we talked.
What did he say? I was going to pick
He said Terry will get everybody cheered up.
Hey, I'm
get everybody fired up for the game.
I'm just telling you right now, man, there is nothing to lose in this game. Those guys are going to be playing for each other. Those coaches are going to be coaching for those players. Mm. Once you go into that stadium, you see that small amount of those Tennessee fans in there that came all of that way. Hey, go celebrate with them after the game.
Terry, always a pleasure, my man. This is fun. We'll have to come out here again.
Hey, I appreciate it. You know, I'll be listening on Saturday after the game as much as it pains me sometimes. But, you know, and I'll be listening throughout the week, man. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it. And, man, huge game to see where we are as a program under Heupel right now in year one. So we'll see. Clean up on some mistakes, some things, and, you know, see where we are, man, in the fourth quarter. And hopefully we'll be right where we want to be.
Y'all come out to Craven Wings, either out here west in Choteau or in Seymour, cravenwings.com. Tell them T-Fair sent you. Bear, thank you. Jake, thank you. Thanks to folks who came out to see us here as well at Craven Wings. For Terry and Bear, Jake, I'm Russell. Overtime coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio.
Hi, I'm Dr. Michael Costa at Knoxville Smiles. One of the major improvements in dentistry